Have you ever had your artwork borrowed or copied or taken without your permission or used without your permission? Well, we're going to be discussing that today in this episode of Art BS. Hello, and welcome to Art BS. Business Solutions for Artists. I'm Rachel Harshenko.
Stephanie Weaver.
And Julie McCullough.
Welcome to Business Solutions for Artists of All Kinds. So today we are talking about copyright and infringement. So this kind of started out as a topic because Stephanie was head deep into this. You want to talk about how this came about?
Sure. So one of the things that happened, well, I teach artists how to paint. And one of the things that was happening was students were taking my class results and then going off and copying them and selling them. And when I say copying, what they were doing is creating the piece based on my instruction and then copying that and creating products and so on. And initially, I didn't really care. I'll be honest. I didn't care because their style is completely different than mine. You could tell who the instructor was and who the student was. But then it became a subject where, as a instructor, it's kind of your responsibility to make sure that they understand that this is not okay. And according to copyright law, that if it's not independently created, then you can't copy it and treat it as your own. It's, in fact, copyrights remain with the instructor. So that's kind of where it all started out. And I know we've all spawned like huge conversations about all this.
Well, it's the fact that it was a class of 8 or more people.
Right.
And you were all doing the same subject of your instruction. So it was like a photograph of your brother's chicken or hen or, you know, it was something that you had created to create the class to show some sort of technique.
Yep, that's absolutely right. In that particular instance with the chicken, I was showing how to create the fused edges with a feather so it looked really nice and soft and use particular colors. And so, you know, what the whole purpose of art instruction is really kind of relay the techniques and purpose. And then you go off, the idea is that you go off as an artist and take what you've learned and then put it into your own voice. Mm-hmm. And when the students aren't doing that, that becomes a question of copyright infringement. And
so she was actually taking the pieces and selling them.
Yes. Taking the pieces and selling them, copying them. And when I say copying them, putting them on the products and selling the products.
Okay. So like a cutting board or.
Yeah. Board, mugs, pillows,
okay. T-shirts.
It wasn't just my art. She was doing this to another artist who actually licenses their artwork. And so both of us kind of came together and said, well, we probably should say something. You know, we didn't want to come at her like, no, you got to stop doing this type of thing. It was a very nice way because we thought maybe she didn't know because this isn't common knowledge.
I don't know. I mean, like, you know? When you casually, there's all these paint and wine things that you do in the evenings. And there's, you know, 15, 20 people taking it. So you're not going to take that piece and go sell it. You're doing it for the enjoyment and to learn how to paint.
Right.
Most people. Yeah.
At least that's supposed to be the intention.
Yeah. Yeah.
So Julie, you've done a lot of research because you are looking to license and you've licensed some things too, like with Jennifer. Red Streak, which is another artist, a friend of ours. We'll put a link to her stuff on our website. But anyway, you've done some research into this. So
yeah, over the years, going back to my architectural life, you know, a lot of times people thought just because they were paying you for the architectural drawings, that they own those drawings. Well, no, they don't own drawings. They are, you know, they're buying a service, but the drawings are legally copyrighted to those who either the firm or the individual that created the drawings. That's where my research initially began. And then with photography, photographs are stolen a lot.
Right.
of Facebook, off of, you know, Instagram, social media, Pinterest, you name it. People will steal good photos.
Oh, or you can just right click off of Google.
Right, exactly. And so being a member of PPA, Professional Photographers of America, I've followed the copyright laws for a while with them and trying to get it to be able to be dealt with in the civil court versus just these big corporations being able to deal with copyright. And when that passed in January?
December 2020.
You know, that was a big win. It's a small step, but it was a big win for small artists, because now we have somewhere to go to deal with copyright infringement. We don't have to have hundreds and tens of thousands of dollars to be able to handle it. And but I also do it because I take a lot of inspiration from other artists. I take a lot of classes, and I want to make sure I'm not infringing on those individuals. So I'm kind of a different case because I was already familiar with copyright from my architectural background. But through the years, it's not okay.
Right.
It's not okay. Like, you've got to, so a lot of things, a lot of artists, myself included, and I think Stephanie, you do this as well, you'll take multitude of imagery to create something in Photoshop that's composited into your own liking, and then you use that as your reference image.
Yeah.
And I do a lot of that with my sketching. I won't sketch just, you know, one person's shell. I'll sketch a real shell. I'll sketch multiple paintings of shells, and I'll have 10 of those shells on my paper. And then I find the balance of which one I like. And now I know I'm not infringing on anyone. So, it, you know, you take the rooster or chicken, you know, you want to find a lot of different chickens, images, or go take your own from a friend. Mm-hmm. I mean, everybody has a chicken.
My brother.
You know, find a friend to take some photos of their chicken. Ask their permission, though. You can't just take the photo and then go paint it. You know, then you're dealing with a whole nother issue. So, you know, copyright is an interesting animal, but I am very, very surprised at how many people don't realize that they're doing it.
It's funny. It's like we were taught in school, don't plagiarize, yes, which is copying word for word. Well, that's what you're doing when you're
right.
copying another artist. You have their artwork in front of you. You're literally copying.
Yes.
It's not rocket science here.
Well, and when we were talking about this, and I, you know, was telling, we don't hide anything in our family, so we're talking about it around the dinner table, and my kids are like, well, I can't just go copy somebody else's work. They should already know that from when they were a child.
Right.
I was like, yeah, good point. You know, I mean, think of back in your school. You can't just look over at the other person's paper and copy what they answered. It's the same thing.
Well, it was real interesting. Julie, you took a class, a PPA class one time, and the artist had models and then allowed you explain how that worked as well.
I took it was actually a conference I went to of a photographer that brought in models. And so if we were using the models as part of a workshop, so there were workshops and then there was free time to create. If you were using a model in a workshop, you could not use that photography as your own, because the instructor was posing and putting together the idea. However, you could use the models freely and had rights, you know, they signed a release for you to utilize the imagery, and you could go create your own piece using the model.
During the workshop.
During the workshop.
So
there was free time and then there was workshop time. But if you were, you know, again, you couldn't take the photographs from the actual workshop and use those because somebody else created that concept.
I don't know. It just sense. It's kind of funny. It's like, what if every one of your students set up a booth and sold their products right next to each other? I mean, you just don't do that.
Yeah.
Well, I talked to my lawyer because I got her involved. Anybody's looking for a great lawyer, Tiffany Stahill, stahill.com.
We'll put her link.
Yeah, I'll put her link in there. But so when I was talking with her, it was, you know, that was one of my concerns. What if we both applied to the same show and, you know, she puts this piece and I put this piece. What's going to happen? And I said, well, they'll likely call both of you and find out what happened. And then they'll see that here's my registration copyright. Mm-hmm. And then they'll know. Mm-hmm. And then they get to handle the action from there. But yeah, it could very well happen that I might be at a show with her and, you know, it is what it is. And when I talked with Kiffany, she said, technically, you're right, that she does not have rights to do this. It is copyright infringement. But how, and this was very sage advice, how willing are you to pursue this at financial cost? Because it can cost anywhere from $2,000 to $4,000 just to, you know, send her a cease and desist. And then if I go to the next step, which was the act that went into December 27th, 2020, that doesn't actually take place until December of this year, 2021, which means there's another like 8 months of having to deal with this. Is mm-hmm. it financially and mentally worth it? And the answer was no. Because
So what would a artist do from here on out? Like, say they are teachers or they're instructors or photographers mm-hmm. or even other podcasters and creatives. What do we do to protect our work?
Well, the number one thing is you copyright it with the Copyright Office in the U.S. Now, that doesn't protect you from other countries, but it does protect you in the U.S. and gives you more of a stand to be able to, you know, justify infringement right. as well as, you know, take it to whatever level it needs to be taken to. Usually just a cease and desist letter will prevent it.
Well, OK, so you say copyright. So how do you do that? Do you have to have a picture of your artwork or? I mean, do you just put an application in? Is it something online?
It has to have a name. It has to be original to you. And you go to the copyright website, which is
copyright.gov.
I was going to say org.
It's copyright.gov.
Yeah, copyright.gov. It's a very easy process. However, you should have not sold anything. You shouldn't have sold anything yet. It's much less expensive, and you can do 10 at a time. And it's $85, I think, for 10?
Yeah, $85 for 10 unpublished works.
And then if you've already published a work and sold something, then it's more expensive for the individual one. And again, copyright.gov is going to have all that information. It's a simple process. You keep a simple spreadsheet of what you've already copyrighted, what you haven't. And when you get 10, go copyright those 10. And then you can publish those works.
That's really great advice right there, actually.
Mm-hmm. I mean, that's the number one thing to do, even though referencing real quickly the Graphic Artist Guild Handbook Pricing Ethical Guidelines, 16th edition. It says here, too, that current copyright law automatically protects original artwork from the moment it is created, even without a copyright notice, and even if the artist has not registered the work. That is true. So for those that say, oh, you don't have to do it, you aren't incorrect on that. But if somebody does copy your work mm-hmm. and you want to bring a cease and desist against them or, you know, take issue with it, if it's not copyrighted, you have a harder uphill battle mm-hmm. to deal with it, especially if it's a large corporation.
Right.
Okay. So as an artist or a creative, someone does copy your work. What was one of the first things you did, Stephanie?
So when I talked with Kiffany and so she gave me that advice about the cease and desist, which is basically, you know, it's not worth it right now. And, but she said, what I would recommend right now is that you square up your terms of service. So the terms of service for my website, because I'm a membership website where you learn how to paint. And then we also talk about business, art business.
And what is that website?
Oh, well, thank you for asking. No, it's StephanieWeaverArtist.com. And so when you become a member, you have to put in your username and password and you check a little box that says terms of service. And so we're going to square up our terms of service. It basically says that you have absolutely no rights to copy anything and sell it as your own, any art instruction. Anyway, she actually sent me the terms of service because this is literally fresh, guys. Like, I actually reviewing the terms of service today that she wrote up so that we can make sure that's squared away, because she said this will not be the last time this ever happens.
Because you're instructional.
Yeah.
And you're online.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And the, unfortunately, like if you look at some of the bigger artists out there who are licensing their artwork and so on, they are facing this not almost every day.
Yeah.
And they're spending $75,000 to $100,000 battling large corporations who know that they're in violation, but they look at these little artists and go, you can't afford to fight me.
Right.
And that's where we're looking at the government regulations to hopefully get in there and fight for the little man, like happened in December 27, 2020. And I mean, that's just the US side. When we start talking about international side, there's really no protection for us at all. Mm.
So is there, so a lot of photographers and even artists, you know, they're told to put a watermark across anything. Or if you have it on your website, make sure it's right click protected.
Right.
But still, if it gets out on Google or whatever, you it's up for free game. I mean, like the bigger the watermark, the better, Julie, or how would you?
Well, I mean, it's a fine balance because you want the artwork to be seen. So my number one thing is the right click, because if they do a screenshot of it, it's not going to be a high quality screenshot, you know.
Mm-hmm. 72 DPI.
Keep right. 72 yeah, DPI. Keep everything at 72. Yes, people say you can take web images up to 150 DPI. I do not suggest that. I suggest keeping it low. And, you know, I'm not a big fan of putting a watermark all across the art, because that's what you're trying to sell. But it depends what you're doing, too. You know, that plays a part in it as well. In regards to the right clicking, you know, definitely have a right click option on your site. I think that's the number one thing. I know my site is completely right click.
Non-right
clickable. It's like, how do I say that correctly?
That's a new term. Feel free to use it, guys. But do you, for some photographers I know, they put watermarks on there and then some don't. They have their signature at the bottom.
Right.
But as a graphic designer, you're like, that's not even a issue. If you, if you,
even if you have a watermark straight across it, the bottom line is if the person's a oil painter or a watercolorist and they just like the image, they can still create from it.
Right.
So it really doesn't matter. I mean, it matters, but it doesn't matter, because people could still use it for other sources
and
so,
cover it or take,
you know,
off.
If I had some distinguishing factor in a image of the California Lighthouse in Aruba, and I had some distinguishing piece of it in there that no one else has when they took that image, I could tell if somebody had stolen it. Perfect example of this, I was trying a new technique, okay? Mm-hmm. And so I just went onto Google and I looked up Space and Rocket Center. And so there's the Space and Rocket Center with Saturn V, and that's what I painted in this new technique. And I was just doing this for myself. Nobody's ever seen this piece because, again, it's copyrighted. I just wanted to try something new. And my husband overlooked it and said, oh, that's really cool. And he started looking at it. He's like, that's not possible. So that person that I didn't even notice at when I first looked at it had composited together this image that I just happened to pick to paint from.
So it was Photoshopped.
So it had distinguishing characteristics. If I had posted that test painting I had done, that person could have gotten me to seize an assistant and infringe on copyright. So if you're doing new techniques, it's fine to use that stuff, but don't put it out there. Like, I never even showed that on social media. It's not okay.
Just kind of FYI, her husband's like a rocket scientist. So when he saw it, he just went, yeah, that's not right. That's not possible.
Exactly. What he did.
That's what you get for having a rocket scientist as a husband. He'll
but,
know the
you
difference.
Know, I just use that story as a point to how somebody can change a photograph and you may like it and paint it and you may not notice it.
Wow.
So, I mean, it's just, it's not okay. It's not okay to use other people's work.
So, not in wrapping up, but what we kind of are wrapping up, but what are one or two key takeaways that we've discussed here in the last month that really is going to make a difference in your business? How can what we're learning help artists who are listening right now?
Copyright your artwork. Number one.
As it is done before you've done anything else.
Get those 10 pieces and go copyright it. If it's a budget issue, just budget it out and don't share those pieces until you've got them copyrighted.
So that's like an advantage of doing a collection too.
Yes.
You can paint like 10 paintings or take 10 photographs that you want to, and you develop a collection of 10, then you can, you know, get those 10 copyrighted and then plan to promote them.
Yep.
Yeah. Copyright, that was definitely number one for me. Number two was terms of service. And then number three was just kind of keep creating. There are always going to be thieves out there. There are always going to be, you know, the people that can't seem to get original idea, and they're going to go look to us creatives for those original ideas. Mm-hmm. Well, okay. Eventually everybody's going to know you're going to be a name. And just keep on trucking, because your name will eventually go, oh, well, that's a Stephanie Weaver knockoff type of thing.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. Just right. Don't stop creating. Do exactly. not stop creating.
And you can't be afraid to hide your stuff.
Yeah.
You've got to put your stuff out there. If you're an artist that wants to be seen, you just have to live with the fact that good art is going to be copied, period. But if you do all the right things and you protect yourself and you put it out there to be seen, you're doing the best that you can do. Mm-hmm. But don't stop creating.
And keep learning, keep updating, mm-hmm. or keep being updated on what the copyright laws and things are. Because there is a lot to copywriting and infringement laws. Yes. So stay on top of that. And just a reminder, we are not lawyers.
No, we are not.
But we do know a great lawyer, and we have her link in there. Let us know if you've had any issues with your artwork or your classes, if you're a teacher. Also, let us know what you think about the podcast. We're starting this out. This is our inaugural episode, so we hope you guys enjoy this. Send us any suggestions or questions you might have, because we might just do an episode on it. Check us out at artbs.podbean.com. That's a mouthful, but it's artbs.podbean.com. We're available everywhere where you get your podcasts. And if you love us, send us your 5-star reviews.